Advent is a season of waiting and preparing. This whole month, we've been waiting and preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and it's almost here. Who's excited? Anybody? I'm certainly excited, and I think it's appropriate for us now to take a moment to read from Matthew's gospel what those final weeks and days were like for Mary and Joseph as they prepared to welcome the Son of God into their home. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to the first chapter of Matthew. I will read verses 18 through 25, and the words will also appear on our screen. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. Again, it's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Amen. I've been a Washington football fan my entire life, and when I was a kid, Joe Gibbs was the head coach, and those were really good years. Washington won 3 Super Bowls in a 10-year span, and I keep hoping to see something like that again. And yet the most notable thing that has happened to that team in the last few years is that they changed their name. Now, for 87 years, the football team in Washington was called the Redskins. That name was dropped 2 years ago because it was found to be disparaging of Native Americans. But the team didn't have a new name to go in its place. And so for 2 years, they were simply called the Washington Football Team. And during that time, they said they were working on a new name. So I eagerly waited for them to reveal their decision. I was really curious what kind of name they would come up with. So I looked on the internet and checked out chat boards who predicted they would be called anything from the presidents to the bureaucrats. Now, personally, I was hoping for a name that would make for a good mascot, like the Red Hogs or the Warriors. When the organization finally announced that they had a decision, my excitement grew and grew. I couldn't wait for it to be revealed. But when they shared the new name, I was pretty disappointed. I wasn't a big fan of the new name, the Commanders, which is just a generic term used in the military. Now, leaders within the Washington organization said they wanted to incorporate the military into the name because of its connection to the Washington, D.C. area. Plus, they wanted to incorporate the values of service and leadership that seemed to characterize that region. And so they chose the name Commanders. But not everyone liked that name, me included. To me, it just doesn't seem to capture the essence of the D.C. area. And a similar problem happened in Cleveland when their baseball changed their name from Indians and then they became the Guardians. Apparently, that name was inspired by a group of statues called the Guardians of Traffic, which stand near the baseball ballpark. But the name Guardians hasn't excited a lot of people, and it doesn't really connect with the Cleveland area. I think the best names in sports have clear and strong connections with their regions. Let me give you two examples of good names, in my opinion. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Yankees. Now, no one has to explain the connections with those names. Those names are effective. They are clear, strong, and even commanding. Now, fans want their teams to have good names. And people really do the same thing with their children. They want their daughters and their sons to have good names. And oftentimes, people take their time choosing a name for their child and then revealing that name to others. And if you're a friend or a family member to a pregnant couple, you're probably going to have to wait patiently for that name to be revealed. I imagine the same was true with Mary and Joseph and revealing the name Jesus to their family and friends. Now, his birth is told to us in the Gospel of Matthew, and this version, it includes his naming. But this story begins with a bit of controversy. Jesus' mother, Mary, was found to be pregnant before she's married, and that created an issue for her fiancé, Joseph. He didn't want to publicly humiliate her, so he decided to quietly divorce her. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to Joseph in verse 20, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Joseph realized that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, but that her pregnancy was an act of God. The angel then said in verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the first name given to this child. And by the way, the name Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Matthew then tells us that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. The prophet said this, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up from his dream, he followed through with what the Lord had commanded. He took Mary home as his wife, and when she had her son, he gave him the name Jesus. And with time, Mary and Joseph would reveal their name, the name of their child, to their family and their friends. Now, I want to point out that just like sports teams that try to send a clear message through their names, biblical names do the same. Now, the names of people in the Bible are always full of meaning. There's so much more than just a word. And we see this most clearly when a person's name is changed to reflect a change in their life. And let me give you an example. Jacob's name was changed to Israel after he wrestled with God. Abram's name was changed to Abraham after God made a covenant with him. And Saul's name is changed to Paul after he became a follower of Christ. We also see in the Bible that the names of newborn children are carefully chosen to reflect their personality or their status or the circumstances surrounding their birth. The name Moses means to draw out, reflecting Moses' rescue from the Nile River. And the name Miriam means beloved. And that name later evolved into the name Mary. So what does it mean to say that the Son of God is both Jesus and Emmanuel? Well, the simple answer is that both names embody who Jesus is. He's our Savior and he's God with us. And both of these names invite us to respond with faith and commitment. The first name, Jesus, as I've already said, means the Lord saves. And Matthew tells us in verse 21 that Jesus will save people from their sins. Jesus has been sent to this world as the one who saves us from all the sins, failures, and shortcomings that fracture our relationships with God and with the people around us. And we really do need a Savior to rescue us from the mess that we've created as a people. The good news is that Jesus saves us by offering forgiveness for our failures. And he also provides guidance to help us move forward in life. And this thought is captured, I think, in one of our favorite Christmas carols, the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. One of its verses says, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Now, casting out sin is the work of our Savior Jesus. The letter of Hebrews tells us in chapter 9 that Jesus came to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. And Jesus cast out our sins once and for all in an act that never needs to be repeated again. He laid down his life for us as an act of love. And that love brings us forgiveness and new life. We need Jesus to save us because we can never do this for ourselves, no matter how hard we try. We need a power greater than ourselves. When we put our faith in Jesus, we find that forgiveness is possible. We find that change is possible. Now, the second name given to Mary's child is the name Emmanuel. And that communicates that God is with us. It tells us that we're not alone. With Emmanuel in our lives, we're never alone. Now, let's go back to that Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There's another line in that song that says, we hear the Christmas angels, the great tidings tell, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Jesus came to abide with us, to live with us, to be with us forever. That's the work of Emmanuel. And we need this now more than ever. And so many people desperately need to experience the divine. They need to experience the presence of God. Now, the world tempts us to experience other things, to pursue things that are never truly satisfying. We sometimes think that getting a job promotion or finding the right romantic relationship or getting a fatter checking account or maybe even getting that perfect Christmas gift will bring fulfillment. But these things won't save us. We need a Savior who lives with us and walks with us. And this is especially true during the holidays because it can be such a lonely and depressing time. You know, the sun sets at its earliest point all year, making for the longest nights. This is a really dark time of year. It can make for a very depressing time of year. And the holidays seem to intensify the grief that many people have. You know, if you've lost a loved one, or if you've lost a job, or if you've had the loss of good health, those feelings of sadness can be much stronger during this time of year. We should remember that the Christmas season is not a bright and shiny and happy time for every person. It's important that we be aware of this reality. And it's important that we acknowledge the pain and the suffering that people have during the holidays. And we should pray for their healing and offer help. I think one of the things that we can do as a church is to sit with people in their pain. We can wait with them. We can comfort them. We can listen to them. I think people find hope when that kind of support is offered, and it helps them draw closer to the one who is our Lord Emmanuel. Now, the kinds of actions that I'm describing are part of the responsibility we have as people who have faith in Jesus. We are called to be the presence of Christ to our world. And our world's suffering. It desperately needs to experience the divine. But really, aren't we all in need of this experience? Aren't we all waiting to experience the presence of God? You know, the world can be a lonely place, full of pain, heartache, and suffering. We need to know that God is here to save us. We need to know that God is here to save us from our sins and failures. We need to know that God is here to walk with us through the pain and heartache. We need to know that God is here to guide us through times of confusion and chaos. The birth of Jesus is good news because it tells us that God has sent a Savior to be the very presence of the Lord to us. And His birth reminds us that God is here. And so as we move toward Christmas, let's keep these two names, the names of Jesus and Emmanuel, in front of us. These names tell us that Jesus is our Savior. He has come to save us from our sins and to deliver us to new and abundant life. He's also Emmanuel, God with us. He is a sign that God is in every time and place and situation. So with Jesus, let's remember that we're never truly trapped in our sins and failures. And with Emmanuel, we're never completely alone. These two names are the perfect descriptions of the one who commands our faith and our deepest commitments. And as we seek the presence of Jesus, as we seek the presence of Emmanuel, we will find abundant life. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give you praise for sending your Son to us. And as we celebrate his birth, we are reminded that we have a Savior in Jesus and that you are with us in every time and every situation. No matter where we are in life, we pray, Lord, that we will learn to always seek your presence. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to be truly trusting of you, to trust that your desire is to set us free from sin and lead us into abundant life. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.